You want to fire old Rosie up, you just get the brass section fired up, baby. I love that sound. Does anybody know what time it is? It's Rosie on the House time, and we're talking water heaters. We've been talking about the tankless. We've been talking about the traditional tank. We've been talking about mounting a circulating pump on top of that. And I did that for the sake of all of you that are in a home that have the standard traditional tank water heater. Now, the other thing you need to know about a standard traditional tank water heater, that's yesterday's technology. They're going away. They're getting replaced at a rapid pace by the tankless water heaters. But there's a couple things you need to know before you make the jump into the tankless system. Most tankless manufacturers who are familiar with Arizona water quality are going to insist, if you want the warranty honored, you must have a water treatment, water softening system on your house in front of the water heater. And I'll tell you why in just a minute, but we actually have Frank on the line now who wants to talk tankless. So let's get his specific questions answered, and then I'll go back to my little sermon. Frank, what are you thinking about, my friend?
Hey, thanks. Thanks for taking my call, Rosie. Longtime listener. Really appreciate you guys being on the air.
Thanks, man.
My current water heater is 13 years old, so it's on its last legs. It hasn't shown signs yet, but I know it's coming.
Okay.
So we were thinking about converting over, but specifically, first of all, we do not have gas, unfortunately. We do have a propane tank, if necessary, but
okay.
I wanted to get your opinion on the electric ones, and specifically our issue being in a fairly large two-story home. It takes literally over 1 minute currently to get hot water from the tank now up to the shower, which is the one we use the most in our master bath.
Of course, yeah.
And I know you've talked about the pumps that work, and I agree with you. They really work well. I didn't know how those work in a tankless system, but I've been thinking of specifically if it's worth it to put a specific unit. I do have a wall that I can expose in that shower to put a unit right there.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then do something differently with the rest of the house. And it would be electric, though, so I have to run the 220 volts up there, of course.
Right. And if you would have asked me this question just 2 or 3 years ago, I would have told you the electric tankless heaters aren't what they should be. That if you really want it to work and work well, you need it to be the propane or the gas generated. But in the last couple years, the electric have really come on, and plumbers I respect a lot are now installing as many electric tankless as they are the gas-fired tankless. Frank, where are you in Arizona?
In the Ahwatukee area.
Okay. I'm going to tell you... I'd like to get one of our plumbers there and just do a full assessment of the whole house tankless that we would put a timer circulating pump on, or the option of that one unit just for your shower. There's a lot of reasons that could be a really, really good idea if you've got the space in the bathroom, but it would take a site visit and an education a little bit more about your lifestyle. But it could be a great option. So I'm going to ask Frank to hold on, and we'll give him a couple Rosie certified plumbers in that area that kind of specialize in doing this kind of analysis, and we'll go from there. And before I go on in my water heater conversation, I'm going to take just a small, you regular listeners knew it was coming, you just didn't know when, Rosie Bunny Trail. With the monsoon we had this year and this beautiful state we've got, and unfortunately the massive forest fires we've had the last 15 years in our forest. I want to put all you Arizona homeowners on an extreme alert. This is going to be one of the most beautiful fall color seasons. It will be a fall color season, probably holds the potential of being the fall of a lifetime. And I would encourage you to take your internet machine and bookmark Flagstaff's Leafometer. And it will tell you as the colors in Coconino National Forest are beginning to change. With the Wallow Fire, the Rodeo Chedisky Fire, the fires that the Coconino National Forest have had over the last 15, 20 years, the first tree that comes back from a fire, generally speaking at the right elevation, is the aspen tree. And with the moisture they've received this year, it is going to be spectacular. So pay attention to taking care of all the things you need to take care of around your house, home, castle, or cabin, and be prepared for an Arizona fall color weekend drive. And you're going to, it really is, I predict, going to be fabulous this year. Okay, so that's Rosie's little bunny trail. Back to water heaters. In the tankless, you heard me talking to Frank there. He actually was going to mount one small tankless just to take care of that one bathroom that they generally use in the whole house more often than any other. That is a great, great option once you take the time to run that electric to the designed area. It could work perfectly. Now, a couple things you need to know. You'll always have hot water, and it will never run out with the tankless. That's awesome. But to do that, we have to flash heat the water. In a traditional system, we warm it up slowly, bring it up to the temperature you want it, and it just sits there. In a tankless system, it's one monster heater that as the water goes through the system, it automatically lights the igniter, whether it's electric or gas, and just massively fast, quick flash heats the water. Well, you heard me talking about sediment in the traditional tank earlier in the hour. That flash heating actually drives more of the minerals out and will actually render your tankless heater inoperable fairly quickly. The elements or the burners will get caked with the minerals and the junk that are in our Arizona water to the point that it won't last very long. And it's a fairly expensive adventure. So if you're going to go tankless, don't do it without seriously considering a true water softener on your entire home. So you've got the price of the conversion from the traditional to the tankless. You've got the additional price of a good water, sodium-based water softening equipment, and then you'll be all set. The other option, well, there's a couple more options. You've got the heat pump water heaters, and I love the technology that these produce. It's like putting a little mini heat pump on top of your water heater, and it heats the water from the air, the hot air inside your house. It's extremely efficient, but you can have a hard time finding plumbers who are familiar with the technology to service it well. So I would tell you, you're treading out on a little bit of thin ice with that technology unless you know and have a good working relationship with your plumber who's been in business a long time that really understands and has a staff that understands the heat pump technology. Those are called hybrids. Well, then you've got the solar. And I will tell you, everyone should have, if you're going to store hot water in a traditional tank, there isn't any reason you shouldn't have it solar unless your lot is not conducive to placing a solar panel. Traditional tank type solar water heaters pay for themselves and pay for themselves fairly quickly. That's everything I got for you on water heaters.
I do have a question from a texter.
Okay.
Trying to find his anode rod, and it's not in the top as he's used to finding it. What's that
well,
about?
That's a good question. Electric water heaters, due to the electric conductivity going on through the tank, tend to cause rusting of the tank. So manufacturers put this rod through the top of the tank and hang it down in the water, and it's sacrificial for the current to eat that rod up and ignore the tank. It greatly extends the life of your water heater tank. But those anode rods get eaten up and need to be replaced. They're generally just a big hex nut right in the top of the water heater. You use a socket wrench and you break it loose and you pull it out. It's about 3 feet long. And it doesn't need replacing until it's all but completely gone. A lot of times plumbers will pull the anode rod and have black spots on it, but it'll still be about the diameter of your thumb, and they'll say, this needs to be replaced. No, it doesn't. It needs to be down all the way as thin as a pencil lead before it has to be replaced. It's not expensive. You do it regularly. A lot of people complain about stinky hot water. Well, stinky hot water also is created when your anode rod is gone. Okay, that may be one reason you've got stink in the hot water. So replacing the anode rod typically is very much a do-it-yourselfer. There's plenty of YouTube videos to watch. The reason he doesn't see the little nut on top is a lot of water heater companies now put the anode rod in what's called the dip tube that you actually fill the water heater with. So it's a little bit more complicated in that you have to start disconnecting water supply lines to get to it. It has one. If it's electric, it has one. Just may be a little bit harder to get to and make it a do-it-yourself project. The most asked question we were hit with this past week is, what about odors in the bathroom? When people saw that we were talking about water heaters, it generally kind of generates questions. But before I go to that, let's see if we can bring, Darlene's called and she's patiently been waiting. Gary, let me take Darlene before we go to break, and okay. I'll come back to this after break. Miss Darlene calling from Scottsdale. Good morning.
Good morning, Rosie. I have a question on front doors. I have a double wood door that's 40 years old and probably needs to be exchanged out. And I don't know if I'm better off staying with wood, going to a composite, going to a steel, or going to the iron doors that actually act as a security door as well as a door.
Okay. Well, I tell you, Miss Darlene, I don't know what you're doing next Saturday, but we're going to be broadcasting from Pella Window and Door Showroom down in Gilbert. You come down and I'd give you a personal tour of all the options. The composite is actually one of my favorite. It can come in many different finishes. The all steel door sure is handsome, and it does provide a level of security. They are on the very, very pricey end of the range. I would not encourage you to stick with wood. There's too much maintenance. There's too much thermal movement seasonally through humidity, dryness, cold, heat. It's impossible to keep them sealed up as well as they should be. Pella has some beautiful options in the composite and the aluminum clad wood interior that you can come take a look at. If you show up, I'll be happy to give you a personal tour myself. You could call Pella. You could call Freelight, Skylight and Door Company, to come out and do a consult, take a look at the different options, and go from there. But you're going to be surprised how well we can seal a pair of front doors up since you've been living with a pair of wood for so long. Ms. Darlene, thanks for the call. I hope I see you at Pella next Saturday. I hope I see you all at Pella next Saturday. Did our Rosie t-shirts come in?
They did.
We handing out t-shirts
to
everybody?
We are.
Okay.
First 100.
Very good. First 100 people there get a free Rosie t-shirt.